This morning we open God's Word again to John's Gospel, chapter 14. And we'll read the first 14 verses. Jesus here speaks a lot of his Father. And knowing the Father and coming to the Father by Him. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye have known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask any things in my name, I will do it. And then chapter 20, John 20, verse 17. This is after Jesus' resurrection from the dead, speaking unto Mary Magdalene. Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. This passage and many other passages of God's Word are the basis of our confession of Article 1 of the Apostles' Creed, Lord's Day 9. Christian faith is to believe all things necessary for us in the gospel, whether the articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith briefly teach us. And so we start with the first article this morning in Lord's Day 9, question 26. What believest thou? When thou sayest, I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. Answer. That the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who of nothing made heaven and earth with all that is in them, who likewise upholds and governs the same by his eternal counsel and providence, is for the sake of Christ his Son, my God and my Father, on whom I rely so entirely that I have no doubt, but he will provide me with all things necessary for soul and for body, and further that he will make whatever ills he sends upon me in this valley of tears turn out to my advantage, for he is able to do it, being Almighty God, and willing, being a faithful Father. May God bless the reading and the preaching of his word. Beloved, in another song, we haven't sung it this morning, but in Psalter number 304, in stanzas 2, there are these words: his saints delight to search and to trace his mighty works and wondrous ways, majestic glory, boundless grace, and righteousness his work displays. The wondrous works that God has wrought, his people ever keep in mind. His works with grace and mercy fraught, revealing that the Lord is kind. Do you? We do, don't we? We do. Delight to search and to trace. Everyone that knows the Lord knows his salvation in Jesus Christ, truly delights to search and to trace God's grace and mercy out. But how few and precious those persons are. How few and how precious are those persons which delight to search and to trace and to rejoice in the mighty works of God. For even God's people too often are so busy with their own plans and their own works that they fail to take the time to trace and to rejoice in the works of God. Whether it be the work of creation, Nehemiah 9, verse 6. The work of providence, which the catechism instructor is going to take more time, the Lord willing, next week to trace for us. But especially that great work of redemption. Do you think of it daily? I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm redeemed by the grace of God in Christ Jesus through the work of the Holy Spirit. If we read in Psalm 119, verse 9, he sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. Or again, Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. In Lord's Day 8, we looked at our confession, the confession of saints, the confession of believers. I believe in the one divine being, three in person. And now we take time slowly with the catechism to look more closely at that faith that is ours, that faith that God by his Spirit has worked in our hearts. Yes, faith. Faith worked and faith strengthened by God's word. And in this Lord's Day, we have really three names given to God. He is the Father. He is the Almighty. He is the maker of heaven and earth. And now, in Lord's Day 9, our instructor, the Heidelberger, really treats only that first name, Father. And yes, there's comfort in those other names, but he's going to deal with that name, Father. And we look at the theme, then, believing in the fatherhood of God. Believing in the fatherhood of God. Look at, first of all, that name, Father. Very short point. Second of all, how God is Father. And then thirdly, the assurance in his being our Father. The name of God, the triune God, and the first person of God is Father. Immediately when you hear the name Father, you think of the idea of one who begets. One who brings another into being. One who gives life. And the result of the one who begets, who gives life, is that there is another who bears the likeness of his Father. He's his child. In earthly fathers, there is a likeness of our children, but because there's also a mother, the child might look more like mother than father. There is also, in that name Father, the concept of love, isn't there? In love, the Father begets children. In love, Father cares for children. In love, he provides for their needs. In love, he leads and protects them day by day. In love, he sacrifices, doesn't he? Yes, when one hears the name Father, one thinks of family. And that is precisely what we are to think of the triune God as, a family God, complete in himself. The Father begets the Son, and the Son is begotten of the Father. The Father loves the Son, and the Son loves the Father in the Holy Spirit. What a precious name, Father. Fatherhood of God. How do we understand this? I believe in God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are to understand it, first of all, as that act, that relationship between the first person of the Trinity and the second person of the Trinity. There is an eternal relationship, and that's why he says, has eternally begotten our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a natural and there's a necessity relationship. The first person gives life to, gives existence to, begets a second person. And now we have to banish all ideas of time, and we're going to get to that later on in the sermon, eternally. There is never a time that the Son did not exist. But the first person of the Trinity begets eternally the second person in the Holy Spirit. But there's a second way we have to understand this article of the Apostles' Creed, this first article of that creed. I believe in God the Father, that is the triune God who is Father of our Lord Jesus Christ in time. That is, when our Lord Jesus Christ took on our human nature. The triune God is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ in our human nature. And that's why in John 20, verse 17, Jesus makes a distinction, doesn't he? He makes a distinction. I go to my Father and your Father. I go to my God and your God. For Jesus Christ, the begotten, the only begotten Son of God, has a unique relationship with God. Over against Jehovah Witnesses that might come pounding on your door. And they claim to believe the same scriptures as we do. Except they change their scriptures. And they believe fundamentally different things. They do not believe that Jesus Christ is the unique, only begotten Son of God, but that Jesus Christ is a Son of God like we are all sons of God. And Jesus makes a distinction there to Mary Magdalene. God is uniquely the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ in His deity. The first person is the Father who eternally has begotten His Son. And in time, the triune God is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ as our mediator. Father by a decree in an appointed time, our mediator was born. Suffered, died, and rose again. And it is in that unique sense also that the triune God is our Father. He has begotten us. We're going to see that in creation. He has made us in His likeness and image. But also, He has redeemed us. What is the significance of this? Name. I believe in God the Father. We make this confession of faith not only, not just an intellectual assent to the truth of Scripture, but it's faith, isn't it? Those are powerful words that the Apostles' Creed begins with. This is our confession. Not merely, I know about. Not merely the scriptures confess, very personal. Put it on your lips. I believe. I believe in God, the Father. I believe in the fatherhood of God. I believe not only that God is, but we believe in God as Father. That's not a concept that the Jews of the Old Testament had very clear in front of them. That is not a concept that the Muslims have at all, that God is Father, He's Creator, Judge. But we are able by faith to say, I believe in God, the Father. A necessary and a very beautiful confession. A confession whereby we are really saying, I believe these things, I know these things, I love these things, and I want to know Him better in order that I may praise Him with all my life. I believe, or we believe. Three things that are very important in this first article. First of all, fatherhood belongs to the very being of God. Just as light belongs to the sun. Now, at times we don't always see the sun, do we? Clouds come in the way. But that doesn't prevent light being essential with the sun. And even at times when many do not confess, do not know, and many times in trials and temptations in our life, we forget the fact or we doubt it. It's true. As light belongs to the Son, as much as it might be hidden, fatherhood belongs to God. Our fatherhood, human fatherhood, only a faint impression of it. Faint. But faint enough so that God's word is able to say, Psalm 103, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. Or again, the Lord Jesus says in the New Testament, if your earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to their children, how much more will your heavenly Father give his Holy Spirit? So our fatherhood is a faint expression of God's fatherhood. Second truth. You'll notice in the answer of the Heidelberger that he is the father of Jesus Christ. Christ is first and always must be first. The catechism doesn't begin with man, but with Christ. And we learn something about that. We learn the measure of the Father's love, don't we? For God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son. Fatherhood belongs to the very being of God. He is first and foremost the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, he is our Father for Christ's sake. He is our Father for Christ's sake. And only for Christ's sake. Only in Christ Jesus. So let's look at the second point of the sermon then. How is God Father? Believing in the fatherhood of God by virtue of his eternal generation of the Son, by virtue of the glorious creation, by virtue of the wonder of regeneration. We notice, first of all, with the catechism there, the eternal generation, don't we? The eternal generation, what does that mean? Beloved, we must not take that in the sense of time and say, well, yes, the first person of the Trinity was the Father of Jesus Christ before the foundations of the world. Then we're still making it part of time. The fatherhood of God toward Jesus Christ is eternal. That means it is continuous. Always. That exists outside of time, eternally. It's a central truth here. It's a central truth of the Christian religion. It's a central truth of this particular Lord's Day. God is essentially Father, Father of the eternal Son, Jesus Christ. That is the heart, that is the core of the gospel. That is the heart and the core of our confession. In other words, one cannot speak about God the Father without speaking about God the Son. One doesn't know the Father, that is, experientially and savingly, unless one knows and confesses that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. One cannot speak of God apart from Christ Jesus. To believe in God is to believe in Jesus Christ. One to believe that God is eternally God believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God eternally. Jesus comes to his disciples. They're filled with sorrow, fear, and even doubt. Jesus is talking about going away from them. Jesus is talking about dying. Who is this master that they were following? Who is this master that they loved? And Jesus comes to them, he says, ye believe in God. Believe also in me. To believe in God is to believe that Jesus is the divine Son of God. It is to believe his deity. And anyone that knows the Gospel of John from the very beginning, chapter 1, all the way to the end of the Gospel, knows that that's the purpose of John. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit, that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and believing, we may have eternal life. The Father begets the Son. That begetting of the Son is different from earthly fathers who beget sons and daughters, isn't it? In order for earthly fathers to beget fathers and sons, it's necessary to have a mother. It takes father and mother in order to have the precious gift of a child. Sad to say, that's what the Roman Catholic Church says about our salvation. We need Jesus and we need Mary in order to have a congregation, in order to have people of God. Earthly parents, fathers need a mother. There's a second big difference. Earthly fathers beget a child in a moment. They are begotten. God begets his Son eternally, continuously. Earthly fathers beget a son or a daughter, and there is an independent existence. That father perhaps might die shortly after that child is conceived in the mother, or perhaps might die soon after that child is died of the mother. The child keeps on living, doesn't it? It has an independent existence. But when we read that God as Father has eternally begotten his Son, there's not an independent existence. They continue to exist always together. They are one. That's what Jesus is saying here to his disciples. I and my Father are one. And as I said once earlier, when we beget children, they might take on some of our characteristics, but they also might have the looks of another, the mother. And even adopted children can take on some of the characteristics of their new parents, can't they? The way they talk, the way they carry themselves out, the way they might frown or smile. But Jesus Christ takes on the very likeness of his Father so that he's able to say to those who are questioning him of his disciples, namely Thomas, how can we know the Father? You've seen me. How can you say, show me the Father? Oh, Philip, what are you talking about? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. We make more and more our children like us with the instruction and everything else. God the Father, eternally the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is the first person of the Trinity, but in time, when Jesus took on our human nature, when he stood as our mediator, then the triune God is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the essential content of this particular Lord's Day. That's why it comes first. I believe in God the Father. What does it mean? The eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. As an aside, I might point out here why many modern translations of the Bible are deceptive. Deceptive at best and heretical at worst. Many modern translations of the Bible, instead of saying God gave his only begotten Son, instead say God gave his one and only Son. Why is that deceptive? Why is that even heretical? Because it's contrary to what the Scriptures teach. God has many sons. The angels are called sons of God in Scripture. Adam was a son of God. He has many sons. You and I are sons and daughters of God. By adoption. But God has only one, only begotten, eternally begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Watch the translations. You can use other translations, more modern translations, but be careful. One eternal begotten Son. That's the center. That's the core of our confession. God is Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is Father because he out of nothing made heaven and earth and all that is in it and gives life to it. Notice immediately in this catechism, you'll notice parentheses. That is, we have a parenthetical statement or clause put into it. It's not the main importance of this Lord's Day. There might be those who take this Lord's Day to speak eloquent words about creation. And creation is an eloquent book of God, whereby he makes himself known to us. But that's not the point of this Lord's Day. This Lord's Day is talking about the fatherhood of God. Eternally Father, in time, Father of creation. He brought it into being. He spoke his words and things came into being. It's important for us to realize that over against the teaching of evolution that somewhere there was a little spark, somewhere there was this matter that all of a sudden started life, and now life on its own begins. Over against deists who, yes, say God created, but then God is not involved in his creation. Out of nothing, God, our Father, made heaven and earth and all that is in them. And what is the significance of that? It's about whom we're speaking. It's talking about his great work. It's talking about why we're here. It's talking about his purpose. Why did he create? Not because he was lonely. Not because he needed us, but he is pleased to reveal his life out of himself. He's willing to reveal himself to us and to take us up into his family, to enjoy what he has in himself. And this creation doesn't exist by itself. It's not left to itself, but is dependent upon God just as a child is dependent upon his father. What an eloquent book. Read it, beloved, every day. God who created and cares for his world, and we're not going to speak now about providence for Lord's Day 10, is going to get into that precious doctrine. But God has brought forth a creation in which he can be known. And that's why there's parables in the Bible, isn't it? That's why Jesus uses parables. Because this earthly creation that he made is made in such a way to reveal spiritual truths that we can't see with our eyes. God is Father because of creation. But now let me hasten under that point. Then there's a fall. Then there's a fall. He makes a creation which he can be known. He makes a creation in which human beings bear his likeness, created in true knowledge and righteousness and holiness, can speak to God and be spoken to. But then comes the fall. And humans have lost that image of God. Lost that image. Not merely lost that image, but they become the opposite. Instead, humans become sons of the devil. That's what Jesus says to his enemies. You speak about Abraham. You speak about God as your father. But you are sons of your father, the devil. That's who, because of sin, we by nature resemble, look like, love, depend upon. Sin. So that we, like the devil, are liars and adversaries to God. We need God's word to reveal that. Over against this world in which many, even in the church, will talk about the brotherhood of all people. We're all children of God. No, we were created that way. But in Adam, there was the fall. And by nature, we all share that nature of the devil. Alienated from God. Enemies of God. Distorted. Liars and adversaries. Oh, the preciousness of this Lord's Day. Because we read here that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is, for the sake of Christ his Son, my God and my Father. How is that? We fell away. We became children of the devil by nature because he remakes us. And that's why I said that's a greater work than the original creation. Remade, recreated, born from above. What a work. Those who were dead made alive. Those who were enemies now friends. Those who were children of the devil by nature, children of God. Regeneration. Why is God our Father? And beautifully the Heidelberger puts the gospel there. Only for the sake of Jesus Christ. Nothing in you and me makes us better than the rest of humanity. We were all sinners. All have fallen away from God. But this love for us in Christ Jesus before the foundations of the world. In Christ Jesus, he saw us as his sons and daughters and loved us, chose us. It speaks about what Christ does for us, doesn't it? Christ is the only begotten Son. We are adopted sons and daughters of God. And God, for the sake of his Son, is the Father, not only of Jesus Christ, but our Father. you're my Father. Very personal. And in that phrase, for the sake of Christ, His Son, my God and my Father, there is a restriction, and there is, second of all, an extension. A restriction. God is not the Father of all humanity. God is not the Father of all people, but God is the judge of all people and of the wicked. But we are able to go to Him in confidence. When we fall into sin and we again come to the throne of grace, we're going to be given an audience. We can go to God's throne of grace without fear. Because Jesus says here, all that you ask, verse 13, John 14, verse 13, whatsoever you will ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Oh, how beautiful. Without fear, He'll give us whatever we stand in need of for body and soul. There's one thought I want you to take home with you this morning. There's one thought I want you to take with you into this week. If we were going to take this short Lord's Day and put it in just a few words. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is my Father. Think of that on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is my Father. What does that mean? That means that He transfers to us the same Father love and Father care as He does to His only begotten Son. And as He speaks about His only begotten Son, He says, in whom I am well pleased. That's what He says about you and me in Christ Jesus. Well pleased. Say it. Say it to yourselves in times of doubt and fear when things are not going your way. My God. My Father. That's what Jesus says to His disciples, and that's what Jesus says to Mary Magdalene on the morning of His resurrection. For you see, that makes our confession very personal, doesn't it? Not just others, as wonderful as that is, but my God and my Father. It means that the privileges and rights of a son belong to us. It means that the angels who were, we read from the Psalms, the protectors of Jesus Christ and came to His aid there in the Garden of Gethsemane to comfort Him, those angels are our protectors, aren't they? Everything that belongs to Christ belongs to us as adopted sons and daughters, with only one thing different: the cross. Oh, we have to bear a cross too. But Christ's cross was a curse, wasn't it? The wrath of God. Our crosses are blessings, privileges to suffer for the sake of Christ Jesus and along with our Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ Jesus. When you say, with this main thought, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is my Father, God has given you and me the most beautiful proof, the most blessed truth. He loves us. There were those who came to Jesus and they said, give us signs. Give us signs. And then Jesus said, now I'll only give you one sign, the sign of Jonah. You want signs of God's love? Oh, beloved, look at the cross. How much does the Father love you, His sons and daughters, by adoption? He gave His only begotten Son to die on the cross for your sins. And with Christ, God will give you all things. Oh, know this God. Love this God. Serve this God, your Father. Notice with me, thirdly, the assurance in being Father. In this world, our situation is always very precarious. By precarious, I mean there are always sorrows and troubles daily and physical cares. What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? How is the surgery going to turn out? How is it going to go with me? We have not only physical cares, but we also have a difficult time spiritually, don't we? The Heidelberger says we live in this veil of tears. Whether by strength, 70 or 80 or 90 years, our life is but a span and it is trouble. We live in the midst of a world of sinners. Sinners who oppose God, who oppose our Christ, and therefore will oppose the church. But not only do we live in the midst of sinners, but even as regenerated saints, we continue to sin. We continue to stumble. We continue at times to doubt or to fear or to even fall away for a while. What about these evils that come to us in our life? And the Catechism says, these evils that He sends to us, He's in control, He's the sovereign God. These evils He averts for us, we read in our baptism form, or turns it to our profit. This evening we're going to hear of how the Lord turns evils into profits. The evil of leprosy for a Syrian named Naaman. Or the evil for a young Israelite girl who was made a slave up in Syria. Whatever evils come to us in our life, never doubt, your Father in heaven is the Almighty Sovereign God. He works all things. He sends all things our direction in His providence. And He averts evil or He turns it to our profit. What positive assurance for you and me then? God as our Father will surely provide. The Catechism says, all things necessary. Take that promise home with you. He will provide all things necessary for body and soul. What am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? Where am I going to work? How's the surgery going to turn out? He will provide. My sins that are so many, He will provide forgiveness. He'll provide the assurance that we're His children. He'll provide grace to fight sin in our lives. He provides, finally, the ultimate haven, heaven, where there's no more sin or trouble. He works all things together for good to them that love Him, our good. And we're going to see that this evening. What positive assurance, for we say He is God, the Father, Almighty. Almighty. He surely will provide. earthly fathers might desire to provide, but then can't carry through. Either they might not have the means, or they might not even be there to help you at times. And of course, there are some earthly fathers that don't even want to help. They're selfish. They're evil. They think only of themselves. But against earthly fathers, God as Father desires, wants to, and as Almighty God will surely give us all that we stand in need of. He's able. What continuing assurance. As Father loves us, desires to give us what we stand in need of, as the Almighty, He's able to. Take these truths then, beloved. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is my Father. Claim it. Love it. Take this promise. All things He'll give us necessary for body and soul. What an incentive to love Him, to praise Him forever. What an incentive to live then as children of God. What an incentive to obey Him as children. What an incentive to walk in the midst of this world as children of God. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this blessed, this wonderful, this assuring Word of God. That for the sake of Jesus Christ, merely of grace, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is our Father and our God. We love Thee, Lord. We want to live for Thee. We want to live out of this assurance. Give us grace. Amen. Turn in our Psalter to number 420. Let God be praised with reverence deep. He daily comes our lives to steep in bounties freely given. Stanza 5. Let's sing stanzas 1, 3, and 5.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be yours. Amen.